ओम ज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः.
Srila Prabhupada often used to quote this verse along with the following verse, which goes as follows: Nachatasman manusheshu kaschin me priyakrittamaha bhavitana cha me tasmad anya priyataro bhuvi. Now, in these verses, Lord Krishna is talking about giving the message of Gita to the devotees. And just before this, Krishna has forbidden preaching this knowledge to non-devotees. Idam te na tapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana na cha shushu shave vachang na cha mam yobhisuyati. This confidential knowledge is not to be explained, more or less summarizing, to those who are not devotees. You may be interested to know, in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, the process of initiation, Krishna says here, this confidential knowledge is not to be taught to those who are not austere, not devoted, nor engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. Yes, it's confidential knowledge, because before this, before stating this, Lord Krishna has said that Shunume Paramang Vacha, Sarvagu Yatamam Bhuya, Shunume Paramang Vacha, this is text 64. This is the most confidential of all knowledge I'm going to speak to you. So that most confidential knowledge is Sarvadhaman Parittaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja Hum Tong Sabukapebhyo Mokshayishami Mashucha. So in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, the process of initiation, there are various stages, and finally the guru will teach this mantra, this shloka to you secretly. Sarvadhaman Parittaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja Hum Tong Sabukapebhyo Mokshayishami Mashucha. They won't, in the public meeting, in the preaching, they won't say this shloka out loud, only very secretly to the disciple, because it's not a very easy thing to understand, and it can easily be misinterpreted or not taken very seriously. Of course, Srila Prabhupada preached this all over the world. This is one of the verses that Prabhupada quoted the most, Savadhaman Parittaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja, because this is the essence of Krishna consciousness, to surrender to Krishna. So sometimes Sri Vaishnava Sannyasis in South India, they appreciate how Prabhupada has preached Krishna consciousness all over the world. And although they're not supposed to say it, they'll say, and as Bhaktivedanta Swami says, and they'll say the shloka, but not in Sanskrit. Because this is the actual point that we want to bring people to. And particularly, Lord Chaitanya's movement is meant for preaching. And preaching means what? Preaching means ultimately to bring people to the point of surrender to Krishna. In the beginning, we may explain to people beginning principles, but ultimately the idea is to bring people all the way to full surrender to Krishna. Lord Chaitanya personally preached in Bengal, all over South India. He sent his disciples to preach in different parts of Bharatvarsha. And he said, Priti vite ache jato nagaradi gram sabatra prachar hoibe moranam, that this Krishna consciousness will spread to every town and village in the world. So that work of spreading Krishna consciousness to every town and village in the world, he entrusted to his most confidential devotee, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, his coming is predicted in many Vaishnava texts. We find in the Chaitanya Mangala of Lochan Das Thakur that Lord Chaitanya is saying that there will be a great general, great devotee of mine who will be like a great general spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. In many Vaishnava texts, the spreading of Krishna consciousness all over the world is predicted. In Brahma Vaivarta Purana, there is a section describing Kali Yuga, in which it describes that there will be a golden age of 10,000 years in which Vaishnavas will travel all over the earth raising their arms and chanting the holy names, and in this way purifying the world. In the writings of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya also, there are ancient texts predicting this. These are texts going back several thousand years, even before the time of Ramanujacharya, in which it is said that in future the Vaishnavas, the same thing, they will travel throughout the world, preaching this Krishna consciousness and purifying the world. There is one Sri Vaishnava scholar who lives near to Sri Rangam, which is the most, you could say it's the most important Sri Vaishnava holy place. Now, he was discussing with our devotees about this writings of the Alvas, the ancient acharyas of the Sri Vaishnavas. And he was saying, who does this refer to? It's not us, it's you. Meaning the devotees of ISKCON. There are many such predictions. There's an important verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that Prabhupada quoted in the preface to Srimad Bhagavatam. Tadvad visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abhatavati api. Namanyanantaza yashongitan yat shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhava. The purport of this is that this message of Srimad Bhagavatam is all purifying. Even if the message is composed in imperfect language, because it is glorification of the Supreme Lord, it is heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Now, what does this mean actually? Because the text of Srimad Bhagavatam itself is not imperfectly composed. It is composed in perfect Sanskrit language. In Sanskrit, there are many rules of composition. It's a very scientific language. You can't just make up something like in modern English and probably all in the world, they have this blank verse. I don't know how you say that. Where they write so-called poetry and one line will be 50 words long and the next line 2 words long and there's no meter or rhyme or reason or anything. And it's called poetry. But in Sanskrit composition, there are very precise rules. And even to understand the language of Srimad Bhagavatam is not very easy. This language of Bhagavad Gita is relatively easy, but the language of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Sanskrit in Bhagavatam, is quite more complex. So the Sanskrit in Bhagavatam is perfectly composed, but this verse says that even if it is imperfectly composed, it is accepted. And this verse says, Janataga Viplavo, it means that it will create a revolution in the sinful population. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam has regularly been preached in India among pious people. So what is this discussion of improperly composed and causing a revolution among impious people? This, if we examine, we must conclude this refers to Srila Prabhupada's presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam in English. Because anything composed in English must be improperly composed because English is an improper language. It's called Mlecha Bhasha. One thing it means the language of uncivilized people. And another meaning is that it's a completely irregular language. As Srila Prabhupada pointed out, you'll find in English B-U-T is pronounced but, P-U-T is pronounced put. So it's completely, there's no reason in it. Of course there are rules in English, although every rule has many exceptions. But even Srila Prabhupada's presentation of English, many times he broke the rules because he was not an expert in English grammar. Most English-speaking people who live in India speak English in an unusual style, including myself after so many years in India. So you'll find now you'll read Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, it's been edited by his American disciples, but the original edition that Prabhupada produced, there were many grammatical errors. But according to this verse that we're quoting from Srimad Bhagavatam, that doesn't make any difference in its potency. It is heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. We also find that Ishvara Puri, the guru of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he composed a book called Krishna Lilamrita. And he said to Lord Chaitanya that, you are a great Sanskrit scholar, I am not, so you please check this book and correct whatever grammatical mistakes may be there. But Lord Chaitanya said that there cannot be any mistake in your book. Because when a devotee glorifies Krishna, that the act of glorification by a pure devotee in itself makes everything perfect. And if any rascal criticizes the writings of a Vaishnav, saying that there's wrong grammar, something like this, he's simply a demon, that's all. So Prabhupada, he for the first time presented Srimad Bhagavatam in Lecha Bhasha, in an imperfect language. Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, had been presented in other languages previously, such as Tamil, Telugu, Bengali, but these are all languages based on Sanskrit, and they don't have the defects as English does. And also, this point of making a revolution in the misdirected lives of an impious civilization. This clearly refers to Srila Prabhupada's presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam in the Western world. So this means that when the Bhagavatam was being composed by Vyasadeva, he was seeing, in future, Srila Prabhupada will take this all over the world. And all the acharyas, they could see, in future, Prabhupada is coming. When Lord Chaitanya said that my name will be preached all over the world, he knew Srila Prabhupada is going to do this. Once one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples told Srila Prabhupada quite an unusual thing. This was on Prabhupada's morning walk. So the disciple said that he had met one of Prabhupada's godbrothers who said that Lord Chaitanya is God himself. So if he wanted Krishna consciousness preached in the Western countries, he would have done it himself. But he didn't. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada should not go all over the world and preach Krishna consciousness is wrong. Srila Prabhupada stopped walking and put his cane firmly on the ground. He said, Lord Chaitanya did not preach Krishna consciousness all over the world because he wanted to give me the credit. So this is a fact. Krishna has his plans. It's not by chance that Krishna consciousness spread all over the world. It's not, they're not like some kind of Darwin theory. But all the acharyas, they have given their contribution, all leading up to Srila Prabhupada, preaching this Krishna consciousness all over the world. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. Lord Chaitanya began his teachings where Krishna finishes his teachings in Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna gives the very confidential knowledge of surrender to him. And Lord Chaitanya takes us to love beyond surrender and gives us the practical process to develop that love by chanting the names of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya himself didn't write any books, but he taught his disciples and they wrote books according to his instructions, especially the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano Sad Dharma Samsthapako Lokanam Hitakarino. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan studied all the different scriptures with the aim of establishing what is the actual religious principle. Just like at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find Suta Goswami speaking on behalf of the sages at Naimisharanya. Sorry, Shonak Rishi speaking to Suta Goswami on behalf of the sages at Naimisharanya. So Shonak Rishi says there are many different scriptures and there are many different processes which are described therein. So please describe that process which will be the best for people in this age of Kali. Because prayanal payusa sabhya kalavasmin yuge jana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hi upudruta. People in the age of Kali have short lives. They can't study so many different scriptures. They can't follow very difficult processes. They don't have time. So their minds are very disturbed, so they can't follow different processes. They're very unlucky. So in reply, Suta Goswami spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is based upon... Srimad Bhagavatam means what Sukadev spoke to Parikshit. And all that Sukadev Goswami says is developed from the questions of Maharaj Parikshit, of which the most important question is, what is the duty of the human being, and especially of someone who is about to die? So the essence of all spiritual knowledge is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. So the six Goswamis, they... established not only on the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam, but on all that they studied extensively, all the scriptures, and showed that all these scriptures support the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam. And they composed books to establish the philosophical conclusions of the Hare Krishna movement. Especially Jiva Goswami, Prabhupada, he wrote his Sandarbhas, which means essays. They're very famous, which established the essential principles of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, of course they wrote many books, but among those books are Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Prabhupada has translated as The Nectar of Devotion. Now if we read this book, we'll find so many quotes from all different scriptures establishing the path of Krishna consciousness and how to practice it. So it's very convenient for us to read that and get all the treasures of this knowledge all in one book. But it's amazing how Rupa Goswami, he has quoted from so many different scriptures. That means he read through so many different scriptures to extract all these quotes. So Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami also wrote Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is a book of guiding Vaishnavas how to lead their daily lives. So the six Goswamis were very busy writing books and establishing the importance of Vrindavan by excavating the holy places there.
Excavating.
Well, you could say discovering, rediscovering, and re-establishing. The next generation of Vaishnavas after the six Goswamis, the important devotees were Srinivas Shamananda and Narottam Prabhus. Shamananda and Narottam Prabhus. Maybe in New York, anyway. So between them they preached Krishna consciousness very extensively in Bengal, Orissa and Assam through both themselves and through their disciples. And in this way the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya spread and developed. In course of time there was some some contaminations into the sampradaya. In other words, some self-interested people, they misrepresented Lord Chaitanya's teachings for their own personal sense gratification. So that by the end of the 19th century in Bengal, Lord Chaitanya's cult was looked down upon by the educated class of people. Bhaktivinoda Thakur worked very hard to re-establish the authenticity of Lord Chaitanya's movement. His son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was known as the Lion Guru because he preached so strongly against all misrepresentations of Vedic knowledge. And he started a big preaching movement that became very well known in India. Unfortunately, after the passing away of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his disciples fought amongst themselves and the preaching activities of the Gauriya Math all but stopped. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that at the expense of all my temples and all my work, if I could simply make one pure devotee, I would be satisfied. When Srila Prabhupada, it was in his family life as a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was also very active in preaching. And at one time, some of his sannyasi godbrothers suggested to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that Srila Prabhupada, at that time, Abhay Charan Aravinda Das, be made the president of the Gauriya Math in Bombay. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "Leave him alone, don't disturb him. In course of time, he will do everything himself." From the very beginning, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur first saw him, he knew that this is the person who will spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. When Srila Prabhupada first met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was a young man and a member of Gandhi's independence movement. He didn't very much want, one friend was calling him to see this sadhu, but Prabhupada, he didn't very much want to go. He said, "I've seen so many sadhus. What are we going to do seeing another sadhu?" Because you'll find so many sadhus even now, they say some mumbo jumbo, blah, 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 and this kind of sadhu. Give blessing and then like this, give donation. Two functions. Anyway, his friend more or less forced him, "You must see this sadhu, he's very special." So this young man, Abhay Charan Dei, he went into the courtyard where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving darshan, and as is the culture, he offered obeisances. Now, the culture is also that you don't just start talking to someone. That's not Vedic culture. First, if someone comes, you'll give them a seat, they'll find out what is your name, what is your background, all this kind of thing. But while this young man, Abhay Charan, was offering his obeisances, even before he got up, when no introduction, who are you, whatever, any such thing, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "You're an educated young man, why don't you preach Krishna consciousness all over the world?" So Abhay Charan was shocked. He doesn't even know who I am and he's telling me what to do. So Prabhupada argued with him. Prabhupada was, generally would argue, he wouldn't just take anything. That was his habit throughout his life. So he spoke that Gandhi nationalist idea, that India is a dependent country. Who will listen to your Lord Chaitanya's message? First, we should become independent, and then we'll think about preaching Krishna consciousness. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that preaching Krishna consciousness is so urgent, it cannot wait for any political adjustment. So in this way, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur defeated his arguments. And Prabhupada noted later on, that was the only time in his life he was defeated in an argument. But he was very satisfied, and he immediately accepted that this is my spiritual master. This was in 1922. Then in 1935, shortly before the passing away of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada wrote him a letter. At that time, Prabhupada was a householder. So he wrote that, "Guru Maharaj, you have so many disciples. Many of them are sannyasis and brahmacharis. They are able to serve you in very many ways. But I am simply a householder. What can I do to serve you?" Again, Prabhupada also noted that the only question he ever asked of his Guru Maharaj was, "How I can serve you?" So the reply came. This reply Prabhupada received just 2 weeks before the passing away of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wrote that you are proficient in English. So if you become an English preacher in the English medium, that will be good for you and good for others. And Prabhupada immediately recognized that this is the same instruction that I got when I first met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Prabhupada tried for that. In India he tried, but he wasn't taken very seriously. People thought, he's a sadhu, there are so many sadhus, give him 10 paisa and send him on his way. So Prabhupada eventually came to America and performed a miracle. Once Prabhupada was sitting at an airport, and a newspaper reporter asked that, "Well, you're an Indian guru, can't you do some miracles?" And he wanted some tricks, something like close your hand, open it up, show some coins, and pull something out of your ear or something like this. Prabhupada pointed at his disciples. He said, "These are my miracles." So that is the fact. 30 years ago, no one in Vrindavan could imagine there would be any devotees in America, Russia, Bosnia, China, Thailand, all these places. They're saying these people, they can't become devotees. They say maybe in a future life they could become devotees. Once two of Prabhupada's sannyasis in Vrindavan, they came to Prabhupada. They had been in Radharaman temple in Vrindavan. They were looking at the deity with great devotion. The pujari noted that, and he said to them, "Oh, you're so devoted, how nice. I think as a result of this, in your next life, you'll be fortunate enough to be born in Vrindavan and be a pujari like me." So the sannyasis went and told this to Prabhupada, what the pujari had said. Prabhupada said, "You should go to that pujari and tell him that as a result of your serving Krishna here in Vrindavan, in your next life you may be fortunate enough to be born in the West and preach Krishna consciousness all over the world." Because here in Gita, Lord Krishna clearly states that the most dear person to him is he who preaches. Prabhupada was always pushed this. Preaching is the essence of this movement. The essence of this movement is not sitting at Radha Kund, thinking yourself to be a gopi. The essence is teaching people, you're not this body, you're the eternal servant of Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. These are the inner feelings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We pray, Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within the world the inner desires of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, show his mercy to me? Rupa Goswami knew the inner desires of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya once expressed these inner desires to Haridas Thakur. Lord Chaitanya was so concerned, how can all the living beings of this universe be delivered? The human beings can chant Hare Krishna, but what about the non-humans? Haridas Thakur replied, Pashu, Paki, Kita, Adi, Balite, Na, Pare, Shunile, Hare, Nam, Tara, O Tare. That these birds, insects, animals, they cannot chant Hare Krishna, but even if they hear the holy names, they will be delivered. Therefore, this chanting is all auspicious. By this chanting, Iha hoite sarva siddhi hoibe shubha, everyone can achieve the highest perfection. It is so powerful. Sankirtan is called Sankirtan. When many devotees come together and chant, Kirtan means Sankirtan is performed with a mridanga. Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur said that the printing press is the brihat mridanga, bigger mridanga. He was very anxious to print books. He thought this the most effective means to spread Krishna consciousness in the modern age. He said that this mridanga that we play, the instrument, that can be heard for a small distance. But these books can go all over the world, unrestrictedly. And however much they thought they prided themselves on their intelligence, Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur was completely outstripped them in terms of intelligence. That same philosophy Srila Prabhupada has presented in his books. And this is another miracle, how he has presented this knowledge in such simple language. This Vedic philosophy, it's not very easy to understand. But Srila Prabhupada has presented it so simply and so straightforwardly that even people with no background of this knowledge can understand it. You see, in the universities in India, when they teach philosophy, they generally teach what they call Indian philosophy, for want of a... Well, because they don't know, they think it's Indian philosophy. That I was explaining on the radio program this afternoon. Philosophy is not Indian or non-Indian or Pakistani. Philosophy means what is the fact, what is the truth. But the different branches of philosophy that have grown around the Vedic literature, very complex. You'll find the different commentaries on the Vedanta Sutra presenting arguments, breaking those arguments, re-establishing the arguments, very fine points of philosophy. Just like, for instance, these three words, Tat, Tvam, Asi, from Chandogya Upanishad. Millions of verses have been written to explain this. So much philosophy has been expanded from these three verses, three words, mostly because Shankaracharya misinterpreted that. So actually the words Tat, Tvam, Asi, But they're very simple words. Tat means that, Chuan means you, and Asi means is. That you are. But how this should be understood, there's huge, huge books of philosophy. So very, very deep, very complex. And practically it requires knowledge of Sanskrit to enter into all these philosophical understandings. But Srila Prabhupada has cut through all the wrangling and just given the actual point of philosophy as it is. Many times big scholars in India are amazed at our devotees coming from the Western world. That they may even be a relatively new devotee. So the big scholar may meet the new devotee and ask, well, what have you understood about Bhagavad Gita? And new devotee will say, well, we're not these bodies, we're eternal spirit souls. We're eternal servants of Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not impersonal. The goal of life is to surrender to Him by the process of Bhakti Yoga. And the scholar will be amazed. Oh, speaking such deep philosophy. Because Bahunam Jananamante Gyanavanglang Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatna Sudrulabha. It takes many, many lifetimes of investigating knowledge to come to the point of understanding that Krishna is all in all and thus surrender to Him. And usually Vedic scholars, they can't get through the whole jungle of Vedic arguments. They can't come out the other side to, yes, surrender to Krishna. They get stuck in the middle discussing tat, tvam, asi, and so many different things in different ways. But Prabhupada took us right through the jungle and gave us, here's the actual fact, here's the highest truth, immediately. Prabhupada taught this to the hippies in New York. Isn't that amazing? Big Vedic scholars, highly cultured, they're not coming to this point. And Prabhupada is teaching the hippies, you're not this body, you're the eternal servant of Krishna. And in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, where they're so cultured, after going through so many different points, they'll whisper in your ear, Savadhaman Parittaja Mamekam Sharanam Vaja. Sometimes our devotees think, we have to go into some very high teachings. This, you're not this body, surrender to Krishna. They think it's lower teachings. You don't realize how high it is. This point of knowledge, yogis, they hardly come to even after many, many lifetimes. See if you can digest this before you think you can go any higher. I'm not this body, I've understood this. Have you really? We're surprised. Once Prabhupada was lecturing every night in London on Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, where there are many verses, right at the beginning of Gita, Krishna repeatedly, in different ways, stresses on the point how we are not the body, we are eternal spirit. So, need more water?
Yeah.
Bring her more water. So, Prabhupada is lecturing every night, you're not the body, you're spirit soul. So one of his disciples, who was amazingly foolish, said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, every night you're lecturing that we're not the body, we're spirit soul. Now we've understood that, could you please lecture on something else? Prabhupada said, you have not understood it. That's why I'm repeatedly saying it. The last time I had darshan of Prabhupada was in Vrindavan in October 1977. From the external point of view, Prabhupada looked very weak, which wasn't surprising because he hadn't eaten anything for weeks. But on this day, Prabhupada accepted he would take something to eat. So they brought Prabhupada some prasad. I think it was some fruit juice or something, I can't remember. So Prabhupada said, Sharir Avidyajal, started saying this prayer. Then he forgot all about the prasad and started preaching to the devotees. Very slowly, even though he could hardly speak, that this body is full of miseries, we have to control the senses. So here was Prabhupada, surrounded by his leading disciples, in Vrindavan, having preached Krishna consciousness all over the world for the last 11 years, teaching that you're not this body, control the senses, control the tongue. So let's see if we can understand this. This Krishna says, Sarvaku Yatamambhuya, I'm teaching you this most confidential knowledge, surrender to me. So this is the message that should be preached all over the world. And this message should be preached within the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which is the movement set up by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, I'm not different from ISKCON. So if you want to follow Srila Prabhupada, you have to do it within ISKCON. Sometimes people say, I like Prabhupada, but I don't like ISKCON. How is that possible? It's like saying, I like Krishna, but I don't like the gopis. They're inseparable. Just that we can't, at least those who are followers of Prabhupada, we can't think of Krishna without thinking of Prabhupada, because Prabhupada has given us Krishna. And we can't think of Prabhupada without thinking of Krishna, because Prabhupada, everything about him is just preaching to us about Krishna. And we can't think of Prabhupada without thinking about ISKCON, because Prabhupada gave his whole energy to this society, setting it up, giving the standards that we should follow, giving instructions how this movement can go on and on and on. Now, it's not that there are not problems within our society. There have been and there always will be, because we're living in the material world. It is the place of problems. Even when Krishna was in this material world, there were problems. Those were the first words I read when I first read this Krishna book, Volume 2. That the material world is so contaminated that even Krishna in Vrindavan, there were disturbances from demons. So we shouldn't be surprised if there are problems within this movement. But we should see what is the essential nature of this movement. The essential nature of this movement is to surrender to Krishna and to teach the whole world to surrender to Krishna. And those who cooperate within this movement to do that, they will surely go back to Godhead. Practically, we don't have to even think about going back to Godhead. If we preach Krishna, if we give this life to preach Krishna consciousness, there's no doubt Krishna is going to look after us. Krishna is not so ungrateful that if we preach Krishna consciousness all our lives, then Krishna is going to reject us from the spiritual world. Krishna says here, there is no one more dear to me than one who preaches Krishna consciousness. He's openly said, it's not a secret. So if we do that, then surely Krishna will be kind to us. That is the higher level of Krishna consciousness. Nowadays we find many devotees are interested in higher levels of Krishna consciousness, but they don't understand what a higher level of Krishna consciousness is. Higher level of Krishna consciousness means a higher level of surrender. It doesn't mean that we artificially pretend that we have entrance into the intimate pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. Entrance into those intimate pastimes is by invitation only, not by force. You can't bring your Serbian army and force your way into Golok Vrindavan, or your Croatian army, or your United Nations army, or any army. It's only by invitation when we become actually qualified for that. And the qualification is we have to become fully surrendered to Krishna. That means we have to do what Krishna wants. Krishna wants Krishna consciousness preached all over the world. Please don't talk now. You should listen or go. So if we do this, it will be all auspicious. Everyone should try to preach Krishna consciousness. Within the Society of Krishna Consciousness, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and in this way become advanced in Krishna consciousness. Within the society means the Society for Krishna Consciousness has certain rules and regulations. It also has an authority structure. We have a society means we're not just hippies that we just all do whatever we like. Prabhupada's disciples were hippies and he made them members of ISKCON. Hippie means they just want to do whatever they like. Do your own thing. If it feels good, do it. That is animal idea. That's what the dog does. If it feels good, do it. If I like it, I'll do it. To hell with anyone else. But living in a society means there are rules and regulations. And to be effective in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, we also have to be organized. Not that we have to bring in so many different karmi books about how to organize, but we have a simple system that Prabhupada set up. In every temple, there is a temple president, and the other devotees work under his direction. The temple president works under the GPC members. The GPC members work together as the GPC body, and the GPC body, they work under the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes within this authority structure, there are problems, but we find that even though problems may be there, ultimately everything becomes resolved because Krishna wants this movement to be successful. So if anyone is misusing this system for their own personal sense gratification or whatever, they cannot stay very long. They will be kicked out by Krishna. So if we are sincere, we don't have to worry too much about this thing, well, should I surrender to the local authority or not? No, we should do that because the local authorities have been appointed by Guru and GPC. So that's one sign of our faith that we're prepared to follow the authority that is coming down. And actually, if we do that, that makes the mind very peaceful. Otherwise, if we want to always remain independent and do whatever we like according to our own way, not only will we not be able to do anything effective in spreading Krishna consciousness, but our own mind will always be agitated. Because we'll always think, well, whether I like to do this or not, that will become the criteria of our actions. So that is the material platform. Sankalpa vikalpa. The activity of the mind is accepting and rejecting according to our own ideas. So if we give up this independent attitude and surrender to Krishna through the system which Srila Prabhupada has given us, then our movement will be very effective in pushing back Maya. Maya is very difficult to overcome, but it is possible when we take the superior strength of Krishna. Individually, we cannot overcome Maya because Maya is stronger than us. But if we take strength from Krishna, then we can overcome Maya because Krishna is stronger than Maya. But we'll only get Krishna's mercy, we'll only get strength from Krishna when Krishna is pleased to bless us with His mercy. And Krishna is very pleased when His devotees work together to fulfill His mission. So this movement, there is no doubt, is going to spread more and more and more. That is already predicted. And factually, we're seeing over the years how this Krishna consciousness movement is spreading more and more and more. Those who are junior devotees today will be senior devotees tomorrow. That means all devotees have to become responsible. Those who are new devotees now, they're just wondering how to stand up in Krishna consciousness. Please don't play with this. Listen. Eventually, they will have to become responsible to guide others. Senior devotee doesn't necessarily mean someone who's been initiated for 10 years. But it means someone who's taken Krishna consciousness very seriously, and by realization and surrender, they have become advanced. So it's required that devotees, as soon as possible, come off the neophyte platform and come to the steady platform of Krishna consciousness. Steady means they're convinced and they're fixed in service. They don't have any other desires than to serve Krishna. They don't have any other program than how to serve Krishna. The grihasthas, of course, they will have family duties, all these things. But even within the family duties, that comes within the broader circle of how to serve Krishna. So all devotees should take this very seriously, become responsible. We have very important work to do. Every day, people are dying without knowledge of Krishna. It's a great disaster. If anyone leaves this world without knowing about Krishna, we should feel great sorrow. We should be working very hard to spread Krishna consciousness within this world. Now there is a great opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness. Just by chanting the holy names, people can go beyond all practices of karma, jnana and yoga and go back to Godhead very easily. So we should take this opportunity to give Krishna consciousness to others. See what we can do to bring Krishna to others. Krishna is very pleased if we can bring others to His shelter. So see what you can do to make devotees. The most important program for preaching is distributing Srila Prabhupada's books that Srila Prabhupada repeatedly stressed and we are practically seeing. There are many other programs also. Every one of them is important. It's not that because book distribution is most important that other programs are not important. They are all important. So everyone should try to see what they can do to help spread Krishna consciousness to others. Not wasting any time. These lives are short. We're not going to be in these bodies very long. But as long as we are in these bodies, we should try to communicate Krishna consciousness to others. That will be most pleasing to Krishna. For a devotee, his only thought is how to please Krishna. Devotee doesn't mean someone who just puts on some kunti mala and holds a bead bag. That's the beginning, but what is really required is a change of heart. A devotee is always thinking how to please Krishna. So let us see what we can do, everyone within their lives. Even if you just say Hare Krishna to a new person every day, that is progress. Lord Chaitanya, when he first took sannyas, he was wandering in the Radha Desh. And he used to see the cowherd boys wandering here and there with their cows. And he would ask them, chant Hare Krishna. And the cowherd boys would chant Hare Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya felt very pleased and felt that his life was successful because he had got the boys to chant Hare Krishna. So that is very good. Try to get others to chant Hare Krishna. Don't be satisfied only with that. Try and do more and more and more. Just like Prabhupada, his guru asked him to preach in the English language. But then Prabhupada arranged for preaching to go all over the world in all the different languages. So who is a good servant always tries to do more. Just like Hanuman was only supposed to find out where is Sita. But taking the opportunity, he also burned Lanka. And he was ready to bring Sita back also to Ram. But then he thought, well, if I do everything, then what will Ram do? He has to be glorified. By the grace of God, the devotee becomes empowered. And this we're seeing Srila Prabhupada's disciples and his disciples' disciples, although most of them have no background of Krishna consciousness, are now preaching Krishna consciousness throughout the world. So everyone has the potential. We shouldn't put a label on our head. I am a neophyte devotee. I will always remain a neophyte. I am attached. Don't disturb me. I'll ask questions, how can I become detached? But I have a label, I am attached, I will never become detached because I don't want to be. Take off all these labels, all these coverings on the soul. Everyone can be a preacher of Krishna consciousness. Everyone can be a pure devotee. Everyone is a pure devotee, but we're just playing some foolish drama. I am Bosnian. I am university degree holder. I'm working in such and such a job. No, that's not you. There's a covering on the soul. We're all eternal servants of Krishna. So as servants, we should do what he wants, surrender to him within the Sankirtan movement, preach Krishna consciousness, and then we'll be ecstatic. Anandam buddhi vardhanam, the ocean of nectar is always increasing. That is meant for everybody. But we can't taste that nectar as long as we desire our own personal sense gratification. Even in the name of Krishna consciousness, if we desire sense gratification, we won't get Krishna consciousness. If we take Krishna consciousness as something that I will enjoy, we can't get Krishna consciousness. That's why all these people who artificially try for this intimate gopi prema, they can never understand what is Krishna consciousness. Because they're trying to enjoy Krishna. They're not trying to serve or surrender to Krishna. So these principles of Krishna consciousness are extremely simple. If we follow them, we'll become advanced devotees, we'll become ecstatic in Krishna's service, and we'll be able to do good for others. An exalted person never thinks of himself, he only thinks how to do good for others. So let us come to that advanced position and become happy. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Is there any question, please?
Sometimes we meet senior devotees who are pretty much exclusive in some of their points of views. So when we try and talk to them about something which is a little bit different from their fixed points of view, they turn around and they do not want to continue to do that service because they are exclusive in their points of view and they become offended. So how to leave some space?
It's so vague a question. It's very difficult to answer. She has something specific in mind, but she doesn't want to say specifically.
Yes, but things like that happen, that between the devotees like us, some devotees get offended because, for example, we say to him or her, you shouldn't have done that in that way, you should have done it in this way, and they get offended. So how do we leave space that we are all different, that we are changing in this movement?
Well, we have to... One thing is we have to... In the matter of correcting others, it's a very fine science. General etiquette is that those who are junior won't correct those who are senior anyway. And usually even if they try, those who are more senior will never want to listen. But even if there's correcting to be done, that has to be done very carefully. Because if you don't get the point across, then what is the value? Correction, that can be done by someone who is respected by the person who is to be corrected. We'll find even Srila Prabhupada, even in correcting his disciples, he was often very tactful how to get the point without their false ego becoming inflated. We have to see also in correcting others that if it's not simply our false ego that we're trying to show that we're better than them. The best, I mean, there'll always be so many discrepancies, but in general, the best way of correction is by ourselves setting an ideal example. Example is better than precept. One who follows, ideally, that will gradually be noticed, and then they will be respected, and then what they say will have some weight. I mean, there are so many things that can be corrected, but you have to see what's the most important. I just looking around, I could probably say about 50 things, but we have to see what are the most important points. Basically, if the preaching is going on, devotees are following sadhana, they're following the regulated principles, devotees are cooperating, that's a very nice situation. We should strive for that. If the preaching mood is strong, then all minor faults, they'll gradually be corrected. And if the preaching mood is strong, then minor discrepancies, which will always be there, can be tolerated. Any other question?
When the senior devotees preach to us, they always stress out, just stay within ISKCON, within this movement, just stay within this movement. Well, my point is, does that mean that even if a person, despite all of his faults, false ego, pride, and mind, if he's trying to serve Krishna even imperfectly, that even if he does so, at the end he will finally reach the ultimate goal?
Well, not if you insist on remaining imperfect. As I was already saying, if you insist on keeping your attachments, I am a neophyte and I'm going to stay a neophyte, then you can't become advanced. The whole thing is to come to the point of perfection, which means giving up all material desires and fully surrendering to Krishna. But if you want to say, I will remain imperfect and I'll still go back to Godhead, it's a kind of cheating process. That's what the sahajiyas say. That we don't have to follow all these rules and regulations. We're very weak. So I'm trying my best, but I'm very weak. It's Kali Yuga. So anyway, God is very merciful. So even if I break all the regulated principles, He'll be kind to me. It's not what our acharyas teach. It's a good philosophy for lazy people. Just like the Christians say,